Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Damn these Biloxi blues. It happens
every all night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
No, I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind and leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway
does not
know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get
low budget live, the not so live variety. From the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, April the 29th. You bunch of dang low lifers. If you're just tuning in for the first time and you're like, what's a low lifer? Why did he call me that? Well, that's what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. And they're a loyal and rowdy bunch. And I'm appreciative of each and every one. And now that you're peeking through the blinds, you are a low lifer as well. So we have drug you down to our level. Welcome, one and all. Man, things are wild right now. They're happening. Southern Boating Supply is taking me on all kind of adventures to and fro, and I'm loving every minute of it. But this week was special. This week was very special, and I thought I'd share this story with you just because it involves you. It involves each and every one of you, I feel like. And two things happened this week. That were very cool. Let me back up. Several very cool things happened this week in the world of Southern Boating Supply from a business side. But to me personally, I got hit with a couple big reminders this week of beautiful things that happened in my life that have made me who I am today. And the first of which was this past week was 9 years. It was the 9-year anniversary of when I won Beaver Lake as a co-angler on the FLW tour, and really kind of at a time when I needed to. I won $20,000, and that was something my family really needed. I was just a few years removed, a couple years really removed from a terrible divorce where I'll spare you all the dirty details. I would love to tell the story one day just because I feel like so many people go through this similar kind of thing, but some small town crazy politics involved. I'll leave it at that. And I was left with absolutely nothing and paying in an ungodly amount to my ex-wife that I couldn't have, I mean, I truly couldn't afford. I couldn't afford, and it was wild. It was a wild situation. So, but, you know, it's a story of crooked lawyers and crooked judges and yada, 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 yada. It's wild. It could have been friends of mine during the thing were like, dude, this could have been a Netflix documentary. It was something, to say the very least. But fast forward to 2015, and I was, Marissa and I had gotten married. We were doing the best to take care of our kids. I was working my ass off, doing as much as I could to make extra money, different things, from playing music to fishing tournaments. And I was lucky that I had some sponsors to pay my way into the FLW as a co-angler. And that year I got checked in 5 out of 6 tournaments, made the Forest Wood Cup, which was another guaranteed little bit of cash. And I won Beaver Lake and had another opportunity to really to win a couple more, but including the Forest Wood Cup. I've told that story on here a couple times, I believe, but win 20 grand that week in April at Beaver Lake in Arkansas. And our house needed a roof we couldn't afford, leaking like crazy. Old ass roof on this house we were renting. We had 5 kids shoved in this small house, and that was too small for 5 kids and 2 adults, but we were making it work, as so many people have to and so many people do on a daily basis. Y'all know how it is. Y'all, you get by, right? And that win was, it was just, it was everything, man, to win on that stage, even as a co-angler, the way it all worked out. There were so many just truly remarkable things that lined up that week to make it happen. And it's something I'll never forget, but that money, the trophy, and then that money I won, we were able to replace our roof. We were able to, the silliest thing, and I'll try to tell this without getting too choked up about it, but didn't get to do a lot with our kids. You know, you might follow along with me on social media and you see it, man, I spoil my kids to death and always will. If I got a breath in me and I want them to enjoy their childhood. I want them to, I also want them to understand responsibility. And we focus on that here. And like so many of you do as well, but we're going to have a good time. I'm a big kid. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. And that week, we hadn't really got to do much with our kids, man. And from a financial standpoint at all. And my kids are so silly, but they asked, since I won money, could I take them to Dave and Buster's? And that got to be a thing over the years that, you know, we got a check, we'd go to Dave and Buster's and spoil them for a couple hours. And as silly as that sounds, as simple as that sounds, as spoiled as my kids certainly are at times, that's something I'll never forget as well. But that week really changed things for me, man. And that led to me, you know, fishing the FLW Tour the next year as a professional. That led to social media opportunities through FLW, that magazine opportunities and radio opportunities that really led to this. Which brings me to why this week was crazy for 2 reasons. So in 2015, at that Forest Wood Cup, I met a young man by the name of Geddes Brannon. Geddes was Patrick Walters' tournament partner for the University of South Carolina college team, and they won the FLW championship. He was in the Forest Wood Cup that I was in. They both qualified for that. I met Geddes then, so 9 years ago. Geddes now then went on to work for Bassmaster, hard worker. Big idea guy for sure. Geddes is a wild man. I always thought a lot of Geddes, but he has now, and he is the CEO of the South Carolina Boating and Fishing Alliance. And so through Southern Boating Supply, I'm working with them because of Geddes. I've been given an opportunity and I was in Columbia, South Carolina for a function of theirs and out visiting customers and different things, potential customers for Southern Boating Supply. And Geddes, we didn't have any customers to hang with on Tuesday night last week. And he said, hey, man, you want to go to dinner? Kind of where it all went down. I'm like, what do you mean? And it just, life's been so crazy. I didn't think about it. And he's like, the Blue Marlin, dude, where LBL started. And so in 2017 in Columbia, South Carolina, that's where Low Budget Live started. But it started at this restaurant, the Blue Marlin. We went and had dinner there. And it was just so many damn emotions and memories came flooding back from that week. But I remember calling that restaurant at lunch that day when they opened and said, "Hey, this is Luke Duncan with Low Budget Live Podcast." And they're like, "Okay." Mind you, we had never done one. We had never tried to do one, and it wasn't really a podcast. We did a live stream on Instagram. We didn't record it. I consider things that are recorded actual podcasts, right? Like audio from an audio standpoint. And we didn't have any way to do it, and they disappeared after 24 hours. But the first two LBLs, Low Budget Lives, ever were at the Blue Marlin in Columbia, South Carolina. So Geddes reminded me of that. And obviously, it wasn't too far back in my memory, but I just hadn't all lined up really for me because I had not been back. I had not been back since August of 2017. And we went there for dinner and stood there on the porch because they let us set up outside on the porch. They have a lot of tables set up out there. It was cool. It was very cool. But I'll never forget calling and be like, "Hey, can we do a podcast?" And they're like, "I mean, I guess." And we had wires running everywhere and there were so many people. But my buddy Jason Johnson was our first ever guest, JJ, former FLW Tour Pro, Lake Lanier Hammer. We had Brad Knight on as well over those 2 days. And it was fantastic. So I want to say thank you to all you lowlifers because, you know, we're in the seventh year of this craziness. The audience continues to grow. The lowlifer faithful continue to grow. I've got to do things, and I say this very humbly and from a sense of gratitude, I've got to do things because of a fishing podcast that I should have never been able to do in life. I mean, truly, I have forged friendships, relationships, but just got to do so many things. And it led to the National Professional Fishing League, and it led to the Alabama Bass Trail gigs that I have that I absolutely love, and those people are like family to me now. And hell, it led to Southern Boating Supply. And I told you this in January. All this gave me the courage to jump and go swim. And I'm swimming, son. I said it a bunch, but we're swimming. We're swimming every single day, and it's a fun, fun swim, I'll just tell you. So thank you, and just had to share that with you because, man, if you're out there and you're going through something, just know that there are better days ahead. It's never as bad as you think it is, and I can think back to 2015 and some of the moments and some of the things that were going on in my life, far more than what I've told you right here, family issues and things due to a lot of circumstances in life. And I think back on that moment and really feeling alone a lot of days. And other than when I was with my wife and kids and when I was at FLW tournaments, the in-betweens were brutal, man. They were brutal. And that win at that turn, as insignificant as that might be in the grand scheme of bass fishing, it changed my life. And it helped me so much. And so if you're going through something, man, just understand that it the sun will come up. It'll come up. Just sometimes you just got to put your damn head down and trudge through a lot of cloudy, dark days. But I promise you, I am living proof of it. And I know people have it way worse than I've ever had it in life. And I know people fight every damn day, man. But understand, and I'm still fighting. I'm not where I want to be in life by a long shot. I fight to be a better dad, better husband, better person every day, to make this show better, to be better at all the things I do. But I just want to say, like, it can happen. Whatever you want to happen can happen. The blood, sweat, tears thing is a reality. It's very much a reality. But you can indeed grasp what you want to grasp. It can happen. Just got to go for it sometimes. So I need a reminder of that sometimes as well. And I think weeks like this past week were certainly that. As I'm sitting there, thanks to Geddes and the South Carolina Boating Fishing Alliance, and I'm getting to, you know, interact with folks who are political in politics on a national scale, at a state level, and just very interesting people and have conversations that I just never dreamed possible. And then to be open with be welcomed with open arms to so many boat manufacturers. And listen, they trying to take your boy out now. They being some of the competition out there. But as the Whiskey Myers song, The Wolf says, I'll be prowling while you sleep. Y'all playing for fun. I'm playing to eat. And so we out there trying to do it. So a huge thank you to every boat manufacturer that's let me in the door. It's going to do some business with Southern Boating Supply for so many of the relationships and friendships that I've forged over the years and to the lowlifers, man, it's fun. So not to just go down that sappy rabbit hole, but truly, man, keep your head up, y'all. I've been dealing with some stuff lately in my personal life with some people very close to me that are going through it. And that's my advice, is wake up every day and try to be better than yesterday. And if you do that over and over and over again, eventually you get to where you want to get. I promise you. I'm living proof of it. A dumb redneck from Southern Middle Tennessee, but I promise you. So thank y'all. Thank y'all. April. Damn, April's a special month. and I swear, you take things like that for granted, but all kind of came flooding in this week. Alabama Bass Trail, got to do that this week. Love my EBT family. So awesome. Miss Kay and John Simpson, Daniel Montgomery and crew, even Stupid Dumb Darian, Jason Duran, so many others in that group that we have a good time at those. But wanted to say huge congrats to Philip Harrell and Clint Gilbertson, 24 pounds of Wheeler Lake bass. It took almost 14 pounds to get in the top 40. Almost 15 pounds, 1480 something, I believe, to get paid on Wheeler Lake. So really coming back. The elites are going to have a good tournament there this year. It's going to be fun to see how it shakes. Incredible facilities in Decatur, Alabama. But we had an incident happen. Two guys that they would have finished second. They had a fantastic day, 22 pounds. Ryan Adcock and Jonathan Marsh. And I got to give them a shout out. They were disqualified from the event. These two young men were very excited on stage, as they should have been. And that's the cool thing about getting to MC, man. You feel that emotion. You have that connection in those moments when they see themselves take the lead. And they were in the lead until the 24 pounds bumped them. But Ryan and Jonathan were very excited. And then you start hearing rumblings. Things are going on. Talking to the tournament director on stage in between, weighing people. And nobody had to call me to give me this information. I didn't get a call so I can make a video about it. Lord have mercy. But they brought in six fish to the weigh-in. And they said the sixth one was when they went back to the boat, they heard it. They heard it flop. And these guys came to Miss K and they turned themselves in. And that leads to a DQ. It's a harsh penalty for the crime. These guys were straight up, though. They have the utmost integrity. And I want to just give them a shout out because it's there's a lot of negativity that gets talked about in bass fishing over and over and over and over and over and over, obviously. And to know that's the people you're surrounding yourself with, if you're competing in the ABTs, working for them like I am, part of that family, to know guys like Ryan Adcock and Jonathan Marsh exist in that field of 450 total anglers makes me damn proud. So they did turn themselves in, man. And look, if you shady, all you got to do is just go, we didn't see that six fish in our live well, and go on to the damn house, right? But I hope these guys win, every one of them, from here on out, Ryan Adcock and Jonathan Marsh. So, again, you're not allowed to possess, just like a lot of tournament girls, you're not allowed to possess six fish. And once they got back up there, they had six. And unfortunately, the penalty is DQ'd. And so no points, no money. It was a costly mistake. And they self-reported it, man. Again, I can't say enough good things about it. I think it ended up on the internet pretty quick, just because things do. They have to be stirred up. But great guys, and they'll have much more success. But I just want to kind of tell that story if you haven't heard it. And if you're somebody that knows either one of those two young men, pat them on the back next time you see them. If you fish against them in a tournament, Ryan Adcock and Jonathan Marsh. Nothing shady about it. Just absolute true gentlemen of the sport right there. But Philip Harrell and Clint Gilbertson take the win. We got another one coming up soon. And also this week, just real quick, I'm doing the Arkansas Game and Fish Foundation Commissioner's Cup again, emceeing that event. I've been a part of that. I guess this will be my third year in a row. Looking forward to seeing everybody out there. It's going to be in Hot Springs there, Lake Hamilton. Come out. You can look up all the details, Arkansas Commissioner Cup. If you're in Arkansas, be sure to bring a youngin' out. They give away scholarships. It's a life-changing event, the young men that won it last year. It's an event that's near and dear to my heart, and I'm glad I'm able to they invited me, and I'm able to do it again this year. So I'll be in Arkansas this coming weekend. If you're around, come say hey. Speaking of, I said Ryan Adcock and Jonathan Marsh, they self-reported they could have been shady, but they chose the other path. Speaking of shady people, I read this article. Incredible. During the McDonald's Big Bass Splash, which shout out to the Seeley family, Bob, Nicole, some of my favorite people in this whole world, and I hate I missed that event this year. I've missed it the last few years, and I've been there very many times. But anyways, hordes and hordes and hordes of people come to this. Texas Parks and Wildlife, they set up in the parking lot, and they checked serial numbers and on motors and trolling motors, I believe, and boats, and they seized over $100,000 in stolen goods. Listen to that again. At a bass tournament, now people competing. You talk about integrity. Now this is not a shot at the Seeley Outdoors bunch at all, but these are our people. They're in the middle of our industry. You talk about guys like Ryan Adcock, Jonathan Marsh doing the right thing. We got guys. Now, look, they could have bought this stuff. They could have actually been the thieves. I hate a damn thief. But over $100,000 of stolen property was seized at this event. That's on bass fishermen's boats. Whether that was graphs, trolling motors, the story's kind of doesn't really have a breakdown. But unbelievable, man. Unfreaking believable. And I've said that many times. You know, trucks get broken into at boat ramps, hotels, and I always say, and it's in fishing towns a lot of times when this happens. We've seen it a lot of popular fishing destinations over the years, and I always say, hell, it's one of our own doing it. It's one of our own doing it, and hell, about 9 times out of 10, I think it is, because they know what the stuff's worth. It's incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. But shout out to the state of Texas for getting involved in that, and damn, man, get your life right. If you're one of those people buying something that you think's a little shady, first of all, screw you. And because that leads to people stealing more. And if you're one of the people that's actually doing the stealing, dude, there's a special place in hell for your ass. I'll just tell you right now, there's a special place in hell for pollen too. You hear that? Whew, it's got me today. Got me. All right, let's do a quick sponsor read, and then we're going to jump into our guest, who I am pumped to freaking talk about. No, I'm not talking about him. I want to talk with him. Fantastic guest today. This episode is brought to you by Fish Tips. Fishtips.com is where you can go to learn what you need to know on so many lakes. So many lakes. You've got pros. You've got guides offering up their advice, offering up seasonal patterns, and all sorts of goodness on fishtips.com. You can get on there right now and use code LBL10 to save you some cash on your first tip. Fish Tips, just the tip. That's all you need. And you can go out there and catch some bass, some crappie, whatever you're after. Fishtips.com. Gill Fishing, gillfishing.com. You can use code LBLGIFT, LBLGIFT. When you spend $100 at gillfishing.com, they're going to send you a free gift. So spend $100. Not hard to do. Got a lot of really quality gear on there. Get you some sun gloves. Get you a sun hat. It's time. It is time. Get you a sun shirt. Maybe you need a new rain suit. LBL gift once you spend $100, and you're going to get the Voyager backpack right now at gillfishing.com. Pro Guide Batteries, proguidebatteries.com. LBL10 is the code there to let them know you are a low lifer. You can get yourself a discount on, in my opinion, some of the best lithium batteries in the world from one of the oldest battery manufacturers in this old industry. They make fantastic AGMs as well. They get the nod from so many OEM boat manufacturers, and that is hard to get. They have just introduced their new charging systems as well. Get on there and check them out. ProGuyBatteries.com, code LBL10. Let them know you are a lowlifer. Baitworks.com, bait-wrx, bait-wrx, baitworks.com is where you can find this little cricket, the LOB jig. And let me tell you something. If you don't have a rooster, the new rooster LOB jig in your tackle box, you can go check out a video on social media, but you're screwing up. It is such a stupid color around the spawn. We messed around and created a hit, in my opinion, with a Toad Thumper Bad Crow on the back. It is T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Duncan-10 saves you money at Bait-Works on all things Baitworks. We appreciate the folks from Baitworks. And last but certainly not least, hang the freaking banner. The Bassmaster Classic winning banner. The first ever aluminum boat to take a stroll with that trophy on the front deck. The Express X21 Pro. I'm running the X21 Pro LE right now. But they just released their new H20, the Hyperlift 20. They also have a 17 and an 18 in that model. So friendly to the bank account, but you do not sacrifice any of the features of the X19 or the X20. Go check them out, the H series, the Hyperlift series, at your local dealer, online, and hell, you can shoot me a message and I'll do my best to try to answer it on the Express Boats H20, 18 or 17, or the X21 or the X19, whatever the case may be. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right. Our guest today is a bad dude. he and his brother, I call them the Bash Bros. They are a threat in every single damn tournament they enter. They are currently both sitting in the top five in the Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year race. He just won his first Elite Series after several narrow misses. He has $860,000 in career earnings, 21 top tens, just insane. Ladies and gentlemen, the Canadian crusher himself, one of the Bash Bros, Corey Johnston. All right, as promised, here he is. We tried a video call. We had a few technical difficulties on my end. It's low budget, everybody. But ladies and gentlemen, your most recent Bassmaster Elite Series champion, Corey Johnston, joining us from the phone via Canadian telephone signal. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, buddy. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's about damn time. I told you when we were we filmed just for a couple minutes on the video call, and I said, man, I've had Mercer on here, I've had Gussie on here, and Coop, but it's about damn time we got one of these Johnston brothers on here and making it happen.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just keep me the last Canadian.
Well, but hey, some people say save the best for last. Okay, so damn it, here we are. I'm not going to argue with you because you're one of the. I say it all the time. I'm like, listen. You don't want to arm wrestle Corey. You don't want to fight Corey. He's one of the Bash Bros. Like, super nice guy. One of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. But you will tussle, and so I'm not going to argue with you. And I apologize for not having you on sooner.
just don't let it happen again.
Hey, we'll blame Spank. It's our buddy Spank's fault. We'll just throw him under
it's
the bus.
It's always Spank's fault.
It's always Spank's fault. Well, dude, I've said to you a couple times now, but I'm super proud for you. Glad to see the blue trophy get hoisted after, you know, you've had an Opens win, you've had Toyota Series, you've had close calls all over the place, you've got Canadian Open wins. I mean, you name it, you've been able to knock it off your list. But to get that Elite Series trophy, it seemed like you were almost cursed there for a little bit. I know you were feeling that way. We've seen it at the St. Lawrence River. You had some technical issues, mechanical issues. Crazy stuff happened to you when you've been in contention, but to close the deal, I know you got to be feeling good.
Man, it felt great. It was one of those weeks that you just literally couldn't do anything wrong. Like, it didn't matter if I went left or right, it seemed like I was going to catch them.
That's awesome, man. And I know everybody, they always put you guys, because you're smallmouth experts. I think it would be fair to say that about you and your brother. For sure, anybody that has watched you, kept up with your careers, you guys are great up north, especially that St. Lawrence area. But, man, competing against you, and this is something I've said on the show before, but competing against you guys, one thing that I learned very quick is that when there's vegetation involved or when you're in Florida, you guys excel. Tell the lowlifers out there listening, why is that the case, though? Because you always get that smallmouth label. But I feel like you guys are just as dangerous or actually more dangerous around vegetation.
for sure. We talked about it earlier, but a lot of people just, they don't realize how diverse the fishery is here in Ontario, where Chris and I and Cooper grew up fishing. You know, it's a lot of small inland lakes. They're full of grass, hydrilla, milfoil, cabbage, you know, pads. There's mats that you can punch, you know, reeds you flip. I mean, docks, you name it. And when we were younger, that's how you won tournaments, was fishing shallow, fishing grass, fishing, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's just how it was, you know. And
hey,
picking up the babysitter here. So
hello, babysitter.
So
riding with an Elite Series champion.
A low budget live podcast.
Yeah.
Right. that's just how it was. You know, we grew up fishing shallow, fishing all that stuff, and I think it really helped us, you know, from when we get down south, when we, you know, get in areas where there's grass. And once the zebra mussels and the gobies and everything started to get into the Great Lakes and then the Trans-Severn waterway, all these fisheries started to get clearer, and that's when the smallmouth really started to grow up, and that's when we started targeting them and figured it all out.
Which would you rather do? So I've got you, like, on the spot. You've got to pick. Okay, I'm going to do one or the other. Would you rather be in the middle of the big water chasing those crazy smallmouth, or shallow fishing for largemouth? If you had to pick one, what would it be?
Oh, man, I gotta think. I gotta say shallow. And then out of the Senate forever to get one in.
Hang on, what was that? Your phone cut out just a little bit. You said what? You would rather do what?
You know, I'd rather be shallow any day of the week.
Oh yeah,
fishing largemouth.
I love that. Sure. I love that, man. It's I've seen you guys picking apart grass lines on Okeechobee and Gunnersville and back in the day, in the old FLW days. And it's something to behold. How much of a competition, because you're really good at talking crap, I feel like, amongst your friend group. You see it on social media a lot. I've been around you guys a good bit. It's always fun to be around that energy. But how much do you and Chris, like, how competitive are you with each other?
Oh, we're super competitive. I mean, it's just the way that we've grown up. It doesn't matter what we're doing. You know, if we're playing hockey or we're playing cards or we're, you know, it literally doesn't matter. Neither of us wants to lose to anybody. Chris is a little less competitive than me, but, you know, neither of us want to lose.
I would say of the two of you, yeah, I can feel that from you, that you're definitely the more competitive of the two. You don't like to lose. You never have. You've never struck me as a guy. You don't like to get beat at all.
No, and I mean, I think a lot of that comes from, like, the whole hockey thing when I was younger. You know, it's just one of those things that when you step on the ice, it's just, you're a different person, if that makes sense.
And, yeah.
I feel like a lot of that stems from my hockey days.
I get that. And a lot of folks that have dedicated so much of their life to sports, whether it's hockey, football, baseball, basketball, whatever the case may be, are like that too, right? I mean, but I think hockey's a weird one for me, just from being from the South. It's starting to really, I feel like, I don't want to say take off, that makes me sound like an old man, but, you know, I'm an hour and a half south of Nashville. The Predators in Nashville have really brought this huge hockey following, I feel like, to our area, my area in particular. But we don't play a lot of hockey down here. But I think that hockey is one of those sports, like, the intensity level is so much higher, I would say. And I've never played it, but I've watched a good bit of it, and I feel like that intensity level is so much higher than a lot of sports, man, because there's a lot going on that ice. And any sport too, though, when you can just throw down and fight, I mean, I'm here for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hockey's it's a special sport. And like you said, if you got a problem with somebody, and you know, you sort it out like men.
We figure it out. Somebody, I forget the guest on this show, said that we should have an octagon at every professional bass fishing event, whether it's MPFL, BPT, Bassmaster Elite, whatever the case. And if two guys got a problem, instead of it turning into a social media, bam, 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 back and forth, or going to the tournament director, they got to duke it out. Is Corey Johnson, are you for that?
You have no idea. Oh, no.
Yes.
Like, I'd just be handing out tickets to people to get in line.
Just to dust them up? Just to get in there and rumble?
Some people just need it.
I would agree. I would agree so much. And see, I can say that sitting here, armchair quarterback, and in the low-budget live bar and grill studios here, because I don't fish any professional events anymore, so I'm all for it. I would pay to watch some of the throwdowns that would take place.
100%. Like, I would pay a lot of money to get a few people in that octagon.
Dang, dude. Okay. All right. I mean, can we get a guess? I don't even want to ask you names because I feel like that's going to turn into a whole deal, but maybe they already know that you want to fight them.
I'm sure you could figure it out in the last week or so.
Yeah, I think I could. Well, so are you talking fellow competitors, or are you talking about people on social media?
Bit of both.
Because you have been, man, and since you opened that door, we're certainly going to talk about that. Before that event was ever finished, I've been sent clips of folks talking about you, saying you snagged one on the bed. I've also seen you defending yourself. You took a polygraph. You passed the polygraph. I've known you a long time. You don't strike me as a guy. You do a lot of sight fishing. You don't strike me as someone that would try to break a rule like that at all. Again, I feel like you try to do things with integrity, at least personally. I'll be a character witness for you. You don't strike me as a guy. If you were going to win a Bassmaster Elite Series, you wouldn't want it to be tainted in any way. But I've seen you defending yourself, man. And look, I've done stuff on this show when folks have been in situations like that myself, where I've talked about it. And a lot of times, though, I was right. I will say that when something was going on. But how has that situation been? Has it overshadowed the win at all for you, or have you just tried to pay it the minimal amount of attention and just trudge through?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. You know, it's hard to really explain, because I know that I did nothing wrong. You know, anyone that knows me knows that that's not my style. And I mean, I got a camera guy in the boat that's videoing the whole entire thing, you know, and like, I literally watched it on my perspective mode throughout there. And, you know, when I throw out, like, I am looking for the bass to visually see it, and I can't see it. And my line, I'm throwing a weightless Senko out there, the first cast, and my line tightens up and I set the hook, and, you know, it's hooked in the lip. Like, I didn't do it. Like, I didn't even call Lisa because I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's going to say is, did you see the bass? No, I didn't see the bass. She's like, well, you're good to go. So, you know, that's just where my head is with it. And, you know, if whatever guys want to say, they can say. I don't really care. You know, if you got a problem, come talk to me.
Well, I was, you know, we do live in a world where those minute clips on Instagram and TikTok and all that crap, they do tend to get likes and comments when you seem like, when someone talks from a perspective like they're in the mix, in the know, you know, talking about when footage will get released, they've talked to bass, blah, 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 which I don't believe at all. And in the least, before a tournament's even really wrapped up. And it's unfortunate that you were caught in the middle of it, I will say, man. And like you said, polygraph tested, passed, move on. They hand you the trophy. They hand you the check. Again, it's on live. I mean, you were sight fishing in the event. I know you were sight fishing.
100%.
Good amount of the time.
100%.
And you are a guy that you're a sight fishing expert. Like I said, again, I've fished around you a ton over the years. I've seen your prowess when it comes to that. You know the deal. I do want to ask you this, though, from a perspective mode, Garmin perspective mode on LiveScope and Garmin LiveScope. There was a question popped up after Harris Chain. There was a guy that caught one. It was snagged in the stomach on a jerkbait. I don't know intent, right? And it's not against the rules. Let me start by saying that. It's not breaking a rule if you do snag one on a jerkbait on LiveScope, right? Like, I don't know. I fish with LiveScope a ton. I don't know that I could do it. I have people tell me that are a lot better at it than me that they think they could do it. But my question is this, is where do we go forward rules wise, or what do you think they're going to do if we are using perspective mode to catch betters? Or, and I know perspective's a little bit, it's not as efficient as straight up live scope, in my opinion, when you're looking at the fish and looking at your bait, but you can see where they're at.
Right.
But where do we go? Like, if they are snagged on live scope or hooked outside the mouth on perspective, totally in play, but where do we go with that though? As anglers get better.
Here's what I'll say about that is I feel like I'm pretty good with live scope. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not the best by any stretch of the imagination, but if I tried all day to snag a bass on a jerk bait, I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
I just have a hard time believing that someone could cast out there with a jerkbait, reel it down, and purposely snag them.
Yeah.
In saying that, I feel like there's going to be a rule come in next year where if you are using live scope, the fish must be hooked inside the mouth. And oof. I'm fine with that. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me.
It might hurt jerkbait sales.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I mean, really, like you're sponsored by Sixth Sense. Casey and the gang down there might be like, ooh, yep. That's a bad rule. A lot of treble hooks on that. You know, yep. I mean, I don't know, man. I remember an elite series years ago in California where that's the state law. They got to be hooked inside the mouth. And you know, like I do, it's like the one you're talking about there on your Wacky Cinco that's been the fish that, you know, got people stirred up on the internet. It's and you're saying it's in the lip, it's close to the mouth. I've caught them looking at them on the bed and watched them bite, and then that hook be weird, right? Just barely miss. And the same thing goes for a reaction bait, I feel like, whether that's a crankbait, a jerk bait, they will roll on that, they will flash at that sometimes and just get outside the mouth. I've caught them on a glide bait like that, where I'll watch a 6 or 7 pounder come up and try to eat it. I can visually see my glide bait, and one makes a swipe at it and they miss it, and I get them on the top of the head or the side of the face. It would suck in a tournament to know that I tricked a bass and he got my bait, but he didn't get it within the rule. You know what I mean? Like that's tricky, man. That's tricky.
100%. Like, what happens when you throw a devil horse over a bed and you get that bass sitting under it? You pop it and it comes up and you hook them in the top of the head.
Yep. I know.
Are you keeping it or are you not?
That's right. There's so many different scenarios. And the brim bed deal is one like you're talking about. Yeah. Or just a prop bait where you see him up there and we've all been there. Like, we've thrown a spook. You've seen them. Like, hell, I'm seeing them schooling. Am I sight fishing?
Yep.
And I know the rules written visually fishing for betting bass for the most part is how it's written, but you can break it down all sorts of ways. I just wanted to get your opinion on that because I do feel like there's a lot of talk about that guy snagging one on a jerkbait, or so it would seem. But man, I got a lot of hours wrapped up in live scope since it came out. I've had one on the bow of my boat just like you have, and man, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could snag one if I tried. I don't know that I could freaking hit one unless there's a pile of them.
I don't even know that. Like I said, I feel like I'm pretty decent at it.
Yeah, I would say so.
You know, if I can get it within 2 or 3 feet of it, I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like it's just, I just don't feel like you can, you couldn't consistently do that. There's not a chance. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. It would be a challenge, I think. Does it happen some? Absolutely. Could you do it with intent? Sure, I think if you could do it with intent, you would see a lot more people doing it. because it's not against the rules. Right. And I mean, in local tournaments, I mean, you know what I mean? I cover MPFL. I cover Alabama Bass Trail. If people could do it that were that dialed, we would see a lot more of it, in my opinion. I would think. Just because not everybody's got integrity. and regardless, right. I mean, then that comes down to an ethical or non-ethical question, I guess, because it's not against the rules right now in any organization. You could snag them all day, technically, on LiveScope, if you could figure it out.
Yep, you sure can.
You could, if you wanted to. In this day and time, with all the cameras around, it's just like some of the situations we've seen in MLF that I've talked about here. I mean, you can't hide from it, right? And if somebody thinks they can get clicks or views off of it, they're going to post the video, they're going to show it, they're going to break it down, they're going to, you know, and really it's to me, it's a lot like conspiracy theories in a sense. You can watch a documentary right now and get on Netflix and I'll believe something in an hour and a half, even if it's not true. Sometimes you can be talked 100% into it. Right. And I think that there's a lot of that going on with this situation with you, because I feel like if the Bassmasters thought that you did that, they might not have handed you a blue trophy and a Happy Gilmore check. I don't think, you know.
So I'll post a video probably later this week. Like, for anyone that questions my integrity, I was on Harris Chain and like a 4-pound bass jumped in my boat.
What?
Like, just jumped in my boat. Apparently it happened to a few people, but this bass literally jumped in my boat. And I got this bass in my hand. And long story short, I throw the bass back, like, as you should.
Yeah.
And I was telling the guys, like, a bunch of guys about it. And they're like, dude, it's a gift from God. I'd have threw it in the live well. And I'm like, I think you can do that. And, like, everybody I told was like, yeah, I'd throw it in the live well. I'm like, well, I threw it back.
Well, so, I mean, like, you know. That is amazing. I had that happen one time on Wilson Lake. I had a 5-pound smallmouth jump in the boat. My dad and I were pre-fishing, though, and these fish were loaded on this current break. And my dad got a spinnerbait hung, and we went up there, and he's kicking around the trolling motor around this real shallow rock pile in a 5-pounder. We hear something flopping, ended up on the back deck. I still don't know how, why, craziest thing. This was when I was in college, long before cell phones had cameras, video cameras, and no GoPros around, but still to this day is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And had it been in a tournament, I probably would have been like, what? Put that thing in a box.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, it was a gift. It was a gift from God right here on the back deck. That's insane. Yeah, exactly. That's insane.
Yeah, it happened to multiple people on the Harris Chain. And the only other time I've heard of that was my brother in practice years ago. I think it was for like an FLW tournament. And like a 3.5-pounder was flopping on the back deck of his boat, just like jumped in the boat.
That's insane.
Like, I don't know why it's Harris Chain, but like, anywhere we go in Florida, I have no idea why, but the fish literally try and jump out of the live well. And it's
really
only in Florida. I swear. And, like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
No kidding.
Like, I had, like, a 7-pounder jump out, and I've got it, like, under my arm like a football, like, as I'm trying to bag my fish. And, like, they literally try and jump out.
Holy cow. I'm trying to think back to all the tournaments I've fished down there. I mean, to compare them to other places, you know, because smallmouth get a bad rap for trying that. They see daylight and I always feel like they try to get the hell out of Dodge whenever that happens too. for sure. That is crazy. Yeah. Well, man, looking forward to the rest of the year. I mean, now that you got that first win on the elites, everybody says it just makes you hungry for the next. So what's next? Yep. Are you pumped? Will you approach the next one any differently? What's the rest of the season look like?
No, I mean, I just do my thing, man. I work hard and I don't do anything special. You know, it's get on the water at dark, get off at dark, and just do my thing. I don't bother nobody. I just, you know, go about my day and try and find some bass, and I don't really see myself doing anything different.
You know what, Corey? Guys like you that are just animals on the water, I love. I get to do this show 50 whatever episodes a year, right? And the ones that are the best are always like, yeah, just do my thing, man. I just go out there, don't do anything special. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. There's something special going on, damn it. There's something.
I don't know. Like, I mean, you like, if you were to have all my buddies on your show one time from here, and you were to ask them questions about Chris and I, and like, you would get answers that are just absurd, like how stupid we are. And like, you know, we're just two northern rednecks that like to bass fish and kill animals. You know, we don't do anything special. We don't go out. We don't pre-practice lakes. We don't go sink 1,000 brush piles. We don't do any of that. You know, we just show up to the lake, back the boat in, and go try and find some bass.
And you do a damn good job of it most places you go, man. I know that's the case. I've always said the Bass Bros, you don't want them in a tournament against you. They're going to find every bass in every area. And then it's like, obviously teamwork makes the dream work. Then you got two incredible fishermen fishing around you if they both land in the same area. And it's like, it is a scary duo out there, man. And now both Elite Series champs. That's got to be, I bet dad's excited. Family's got to be pumped, man.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, you know, the wife and kids flew down, and I had a few buddies fly down. You know, there's a lot of excited people because, I mean, they know how bad I wanted it. And like you said earlier, I've been so close so many times. You know, I've had multiple seconds, multiple thirds. And, you know, back in the day when I ran a different brand motor than a Mercury, I had some mechanical issues that cost me an AOY and probably a tournament win. So, you know, I've been extra pissed at them lately.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. And I remember those mechanical issues, and Lord have mercy. They did hold you back, man, for sure. No doubt about that. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I know you got a lot going on with the family. You've been doing some turkey hunting. You said you and the wife, you got a babysitter tonight, so you can go get some dinner, and then you might go roost a turkey this evening as we record this.
Yeah, put a few birds to bed tonight, and see if I can't get a couple buddies a bird in the morning.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. And I'm just waiting on my invite to come to Canada and shoot a turkey, because you have way more up there than I have in Tennessee, it sounds like.
I keep saying to anybody that wants to come, you know, you want some incredible turkey hunting, the door's open, man.
That is so wild to me that you guys have them that good in Ontario there. All right, well, we're going to end with this. I've got to ask you, so you and Chris are super competitive, as we mentioned. You like to beat Chris. He likes to beat you. But if you had one guy on the Elite Series out of your crew that you love to beat the most, the one that you're going to give, if you're just one spot ahead of him, even if you're 99th and 98th, and you beat him by one spot, who's the one guy you've got to beat because they're going to talk crap to you and you just got to beat them?
Other than Chris?
Other than Chris, outside of Chris, who's one guy that you got to beat for bragging rights, to rub it in their face?
I can't really say one specific name, but like Lee Livesey,
yeah,
Caleb Summerall, you know, Matt Robertson, Seth Fider, like kind of the crew that we kind of hang out with, you know, any of those guys.
Got
They're all a bunch of dickheads.
They are lovable dickheads. Indeed, right. They are. They're the best, man. That's a wrecking crew right there. For those keeping score at home, that is a gang you don't want to roll up to your local watering hole. You don't want to roll up to your local Tuesday night tournament. That's a rough bunch.
Man, I'll tell you what, we have a lot of fun together.
No doubt.
You know, I stay with Matt Robertson and Seth Fider, my brother, and, you know, like, me and Matt got into an argument the other night at the, like, we were having drinks, and we got into it in the bar, like, throwing each other around the pub, and, you know, yelled at each other all night, and get up in the morning, shake each other's hand, and go have breakfast, and just laugh like we're, you know, we're two idiots. You know, so it's just, it's that kind of crew. Like, you know, Caleb and Matt fight, you know, usually
all the time. Month. I was gonna say all the time. I feel like,
yeah, not actually real fighting, but yeah. Not actually, you know, real fighting, but like Matt will get chirping to Caleb, and Caleb's a big solid boy, and
yes, he is.
Caleb will grab him and throw him around a bit. Matt will regret his decision. And, you know.
So Matty immediately regrets getting a hold of Summerall. That coon ass comes
out. That's right. Yeah, you don't want to grab a hold of Caleb. He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
But, you know, Matt's about, I would say he's won 2 wrestling matches and about 50 tries.
Poor Matt.
His record's not great. His record's not great, but the effort level is there.
He's never going to, yeah, Matt does strike me as a guy. He's never going to back down ever, especially if we're talking crap, ever. And he's not going to back down from a challenge. And if you beat him 100 times in a row, he's still going to go for 101. He's going to think he can win. There's no doubt about it. No quitting that boy.
No, there's zero quit in him. I mean, you could beat him like a redheaded stepchild, and, you know, he'll still be lipping off and want more.
Let me ask you this. I know Caleb was leading the event that you ended up winning, and I was so pumped. He's on the Express team with me. I'm a big Caleb Summerall fan, man. He's a great guy. I love hanging out with Caleb. He's a trip, man. He's a good dude. He works very hard. And like yourself, he hasn't hoisted one of those blue trophies, man. And I thought maybe it's his week. He had a miserable day too. That's fair to say. Fish loved him and left him. That can happen. Did you guys give him crap over it? Since the tournament? Since then?
I wish I could send you a couple of the memes that people could see that Lee Livesey sent me to post on my Instagram story of Caleb. Like, I'm a Caleb Summerall fan. Like, you know, I pull for the guy. I love the guy. We drink a lot of beers together. And, you know, he's struggled a little bit lately. And, you know, like I said, I pull for the guy. But, we're going to give them the gears regardless.
I love it so much. And I have seen those two in action, especially Lee and Caleb. And Lee has no mercy with anybody. He likes to give everybody a hard time. And I'm down for it. Like, I like that back and forth stuff, obviously. But he likes to get on Caleb and just roll him.
And that's kind of the funny part is, like, Lee will drink 1,000 Bush Lights or whatever he drinks and sit back there, and he just stirs the shit pot.
Yes.
And lets everything, he does, you know, he just lets everything flow, and he just stirs the pot, you know, and watch it unfold. He just, and 2 hours later, everyone's yelling at each other, and Lee's just sitting in the chair laughing.
Just sitting with his legs crossed, got his mossy oak on, just laughing. Oh, I've seen it.
That's right.
I have seen it. He's tried it with me a few times too. Several times. He's tried it with me. I'm an easy target. He can get me fired up. We duck hunted together out at Express this past December, man. Me and him and Caleb, Bill Lowen was there too. And such a damn good time with those boys. So I know y'all have a solid time on the road, man, without a doubt. And if your buddies can't give you crap on your good days and your bad days, then they're not your buddies, right? That's what I would say. The people that show up in your life only when things are going good, those aren't real friends. I want the guys that are going to bust my balls no matter what. And those are my closest friends in life, that no matter what's going on, even if something great's going on, they're still going to find a way to talk crap. Those are my friends. That's my crew, you know?
I couldn't agree more. We always, you know, you got to have thick skin to hang around the crew we hang around with.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. What about Seth? I will ask you that. Does he stir it up too, or does he just kind of sit there and smoke a cig and smile and take it all in?
That's about fighter. He smokes about 57 Demouriers in about an hour and sits back and throws a few one-liners out, but he kind of just takes it all in and doesn't say a whole lot.
What a crew, man. What a crew. Y'all are some of my faves out there. No doubt about it, dude. Well, buddy, I appreciate you spending time with me. today, finally getting you on the show. We'll do it again soon. I'm sure you're going to win another one. Now that that first one's on the shelf, I feel like a lot of blue trophies are coming your way. I would not doubt to see another one or two this year, just like we saw with Cowboy Joe last year. Wouldn't shock me a bit to see some more.
Yeah. I hope I go to Alabama and win both of those.
Dude, I will be around. I got to look at the schedule. I think I'm around for Wheeler. I'm going to try to come down and see everybody that I haven't seen in a while. And I may be – y'all maybe, go Wheeler, Smith, back-to-back. I think I'm around for both.
Nice. Maybe you can set up an octagon.
Dude, the best I can do on low budget is I might be able to do one of those inflatable, like, bouncy houses that you have at kids' birthday parties, but you guys could just throw down in that.
That'll work. They might want something soft to land on.
Dude, I am here for it. Corey Johnson, I appreciate you, dude. Have a good evening, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, man.
All
right, buddy. Thanks, Corey. Corey Johnston right there, everybody. Well, all right, that's all she wrote with Corey Johnston. Hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. He is something else. Him and his brother Chris, they absolutely are just fish freaking vacuums. And so I appreciate his time today. And again, hope you enjoyed it. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you tell everybody about it. And just to get one shameless plug in here, make sure you're following Southern Boating Supply on social media, man. We're doing a lot of giveaways over there, and we got some really cool things that we're fixing to release that I want everybody to be sure to get their hands on and see if they like it or not, you know, because that feedback is going to be very important going forward with Southern Boating Supply. So Southern Boating Supply on Instagram and Facebook. I appreciate y'all. Also go follow Woods to Water. I believe it's Woods to Water Outdoor Co. on Instagram. Let me look. Got some very cool things coming there as well. Let me double check. If you're going down the road listening to me and you can't see me fumbling through my phone. Yeah. Woods to Water Outdoor Co. on Instagram, Facebook. Go follow that as well. I'm going to take you out with Biloxi Blues, and I'm going to see y'all next week. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. See you.
From Jackson Town to Tupelo. See ya. I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western.
Oh, mule there, baby. Right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.